When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I have to admit, I'm so intrigued by how news travels. It's fascinating to me. Yesterday, before we did our show, I was telling Tiki Barber about the golden at-bat. He's like, what the hell's the golden at-bat? And I was like, yeah, it's this weird rule idea. And you've probably now heard about the golden at-bat. I heard the midday show talking about it. The morning show was talking about it. It's like this big thing that Rob Manfred said, hey, MLB's thinking about the golden at-bat. I want to take you behind the curtain on this. Rob Manfred did an interview on a podcast in October with John Urand, I think is his name, or Orand, I think is how you pronounce it. But he's a media guy. And he did an interview with Rob Manfred. Okay, did an interview with him. October. This was literally during the LCS.
Right.
And they were talking about the media rights situation, and then they talked about rule changes. And I listened to the podcast. I listened to it the other day, and it was really good. The reason I listened to it the other day is I had no idea it existed. I had no idea that Rob did this interview back in October. And for some reason, something Rob Manfred said in October has taken off as, oh, can you believe MLB's thinking about this change called the golden at-bat?
Well,
meanwhile, it's not a news story.
Right.
It's something Rob said on a podcast 2 months ago.
I need to see how he said it.
You want to hear how he said it?
How he said it will make a big difference.
Well, luckily, while I was listening to said podcast, we were able to cut the audio of what Rob Manfred said. But I want to give you context on this because there's a lot of background here that I think is very, very important. That's more than just the golden at bat. Rob Manfred said something that scares me. He said something that a president would say and it would put shivers down my spine. He said, and I'm paraphrasing because it was convoluted, so I didn't cut the audio of this part. But Rob said, you know, the pitch clock was really popular. And when you put in a rule that a lot of people are unsure of, and it's really popular, it gives you the confidence in the political capital.
So he's saying the last thing we did worked, so that means that gives us license to do whatever we want going forward. And by the way, the reason the last thing that you did, alluding to the pitch clock, it worked, is because the games were too damn long.
Right, because they needed the pitch clock.
They needed the pitch clock.
Like, I was arguing for the pitch clock before anyone was arguing for the pitch clock, because as a geek who watches a million games, I was noticing the game changing. My dad did, too. I give my dad credit. My dad DVRs all these games, and he's like, son, this is not 10 years ago.
Yeah.
This is not 20 years ago. So I think that change that Rob made was a great change, and I was always supportive of it, but that doesn't mean you should try any change. But here is the context. Rob Manfred is talking about rule changes. He's talking about the political capital he has, and then he mentions the thing that's getting all the attention a month and a half later.
There are a variety of things that are being talked about out there. One of them, there was a little buzz around at an owner's meeting, was the idea of a golden at-bat. That is, you know, putting your best player out there out of order at a particular point in the game. That rule and things like that are in the conversation-only stage right now.
Does that make everyone feel better? It's the conversation only, and there's just a little bit of buzz.
I mean, I get it why you'd want to do this, because you come up to a moment that you need a hit. You're going to throw your best player up there, maybe your best contact hitter. Who knows? Whatever the scenario is. But doesn't that feel like it's cheating? Doesn't it feel like you're... Like, the reason that you build a solid, deep lineup is so you don't have to go to that guy. And by the way, who's to say that he's even going to get a hit?
Right.
You
got
your best player up at the most opportune time, and he strikes out.
Yeah, I think that baseball fans, or maybe casual baseball fans, look at Ohtani versus Trout from the WBC and say, boy, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, it would be awesome if it just organically happened. And I'll tell you this, I think it's a horrible idea. I think it's one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard, but I'm also not worried about it. And I also...
Why?
Because Rob Manfred, I want to give Rob a little bit of credit for something. His rule changes are not about changing baseball. The pitch clock doesn't change baseball. The pitch clock brought baseball back to what it should be.
All right.
That's what it did. It brought baseball back to what it should be. So that rule change is not like, oh my God, it's changing the game. The robo-ump, which by the way, he said on the podcast, he does not like that term. And because I like to bust Rob's balls every once in a while, robo-ump, 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 robo-ump.
What does he want to call it?
Automated strike zone. The right. ASZ or whatever.
Because it's not actually a robot behind the plate.
It's not a robot. It's literally an umpire holding a device that tells him and there's an ear. Whatever. That's not changing the game.
Call it the AI ump then.
Yeah. Was that better for you?
I mean, whatever. Right.
It's not the Jetsons going, hoo-hoo.
Right. There isn't some machine behind the plate.
Yeah.
But that's not changing the game. That's making sure we get things right.
Yes.
Rob Manfred said something on this podcast that matters a hell of a lot more than the golden at-bat. And we could all argue about it, could all scream about it. It's a horrible idea. It's a great idea. Just understand, if you think it's a great idea, you're probably an idiot. I'm just kidding. I'm just being hard-ass. Rob Manfred said something that meant a lot more to me. He said, one thing I do want to change, I know it's tough and I can't force it, is I want starting pitchers to matter again. When I was a kid, Sandy Koufax was an event. When I was a kid, I'm speaking for myself now,
yeah.
Pedro Martinez and Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux were an event. That's not the case anymore. So what Rob Manfred said is, I'm not telling you guys I have to pitch five innings. That was a fake rumor, not true, because that's what he said. Said that was not a real thing. But I need to find a way to incentivize starting pitchers going deeper into games. And I'm going to tell my fellow baseball fans something.
Well, how do you do that?
That's a tough one, and we can figure it out. The golden at-bat is not going to happen. It's a fictitious idea. We can all have fun with it on Sports Talk Radio. Maybe I'll do a Rico on it. Do not worry. It's not happening. But what is going to happen is they're going to come up with a plan, and we can talk about
right.
it now,
but
on how you get starters to go deeper into games.
But what rule could make that happen? Because if a guy is just getting shelled and doesn't have it, you have to pull him.
No.
You can't let the game just get away from you.
You're right. That's why you should never have him innings minimum. That will never happen. What you should do is you should incentivize. It's like the U.S. government. I don't want you to have an electric car. I can't force you to have an electric car. But if they want to incentivize you having an electric car, that's how you make change.
Right. We'll give you a rebate.
There you go.
Right. We'll help you install the charger in your house.
Yeah. Depending
on the state that you're in.
Right. If you don't want me to put major tariffs on your country, then you got to do something to make me not do that. It's all a part of the plan, right? So my plan would be, or at least one of the options that Rob is talking about, I call him Rob, not Mr. Manfred. I call John Mara Mr. Mara, but Rob Manfred. Rob said, maybe there are less pitchers on a roster. Maybe we minimize teams calling up and sending down pitchers so you're forced to do it. One idea that's been talked about that could happen is the double hook. The double hook is an idea of once you take the starting pitcher out, you lost your DH. You want to take him out in the second inning and lose your DH, that's fine. You have every right to do that. That incentivizes a starter going deep into games.
Wait, so as soon as you pull your starting pitcher,
yeah.
Now whoever's pitching has to hit.
Correct. Now you got to go to your bench. You got pinch hitters now. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Better make that decision before you pay Juan Soto 15 years.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. What you can do is, there's a strategy behind this, is A, when your starting pitcher is your ace and you expect him to go deep into a game, have Juan Soto DH that day. Mm. On the day where it's a starter who usually doesn't go deep into a game, he could DH, but then he could also move to a position later in the game so he stays in the game. Look, there's strategy behind it. But here's the difference between that rule and the golden rule, or the golden at-bat. The golden at-bat is fake baseball. There's no perk of bringing it back to yesteryear. This rule brings it back to yesteryear because don't we all want starting pitchers to go deeper into games? Don't we all want to eliminate the bullpen game?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. So if you're a team and you're competing for whatever at certain parts of the season, you want your best pitching option on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your starter, let's say it's Nestor Cortez, just happens to have a terrible day in a game that's important.
Happens.
I'm sorry, Nestor, you're gone.
Happens.
Right? Sit down. We got to get somebody else. We got to go to the bullpen early, and it's now on the skip to manage it. So it depends. I think you're right.
Thank you.
But there's just not a ton of great starting pitchers that can go seven innings.
They will learn to.
I mean,
relearn to.
Yeah, relearn to. But that's the rule changes that I think Rob Manfred is.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Attacking. The golden at bat is a camouflage. Like it fools you, you hear it, you yell about it. He's not doing that. Like that's just an idea that you talk about and you're like, that's crazy. What Rob Manfred wants to do, and I do respect him for this. I really do. I'm critical of Rob, but I also appreciate this. Is any rule change he makes is to try to bring baseball back to what made it great. And to me, one of the things, not the only thing, but one of the things that made baseball great is starting pitching mattering. Mm. And a way to make it matter is to incentivize guys going deep into games. If you don't like the double hook, that's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it is having less pitchers on the roster. Maybe there's something else I haven't thought of yet. But that's the next major rule change coming to Major League Baseball. Be ready for it. And understand, it's there to save us from ourselves.
So I think, first of all, I don't think that is ever going to happen either because of the Players Association. Mm-hmm. The major pushback of limiting pitchers on rosters. Two, I think with the way that the velocity has increased in Major League Baseball.
Stop throwing hard.
Right. I hear you.
I haven't retorted to any one of these.
I hear you, but it's and with the pitch clock now, it's really hard to be effective. And so if you're going to not pitch as fast, and so therefore the discrepancy between your fastball and some off-speed pitch is not as great, mm-hmm. It just gives an advantage to the hitter. And so I think there's going to be so much pushback on forcing teams, or at least incentivizing teams, to keep their starting pitchers in longer, that it's just not gonna fly. It's not gonna pass muster.
Those same players had an issue with the pitch clock, and I will proudly say they were wrong. They were wrong.
But
they could all take their L. They were wrong about the pitch clock.
But
we were right.
I don't think the union had an issue.
They did. They did. They bitched about it because the problem is, we're gonna have a fight because I'm going to be anti-player right now. Mm. And Tiki's going to remember he's a player. And he's going to say, shut up, Narp.
Yeah.
Problem with the players is they're not thinking about the greater good of the game. They're thinking about themselves.
Yeah, but if you're a starting pitcher,
yeah,
I think you want to go deep in the games. I think every starting pitcher wants to be able to pitch 7-8 innings on a every 5-day basis. But it's just hard to do.
So how do you make it happen?
I don't know. But
well, that's what they have to think of.
I don't think it's incentivizing a team to force you to do it.
Well, it's not forced. Like, I would never be in favor, and neither would Rob Manfred. He made that very clear on the podcast. He would never be in favor of forcing a pitcher to have to pitch 5 innings. That's ridiculous. But you need to incentivize it, because what the pitch clock did brilliantly, and I hope everybody sees it, is the pitch clock, when you close your eyes, never really changed baseball. It brought baseball back to what made it great. The pace of play is good again, like it used to be. All you're doing with incentivizing starters to go deeper into games is to bring it back to 1995 or even 2005. Mm. Like, four innings from your starter should never be applauded, and yet it is at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. And that's on all of us for accepting that.
I hear you. No, you're right about
it. It's got to stop. So what Major League Baseball needs to do when they talk about rule changes, and this is very, very important, the rule changes are not to change baseball. They're to make it back to what made it amazing. The golden at-bat ain't happening. It's not bringing baseball back to anything. It's creating a video game that we don't need.
Yeah.
What we need is to bring the starting pitcher back. We all want it. We all, Sean, you know you want it.
I just think it's easier said than done.
I agree. That's why we're talking about it. Figure it out.
I don't know, man. Like, I celebrate when we get to the bullpen.
I know.
What?
So yeah. You want to knock the starting pitcher out.
I kind of want my cake and eat it, too. Like, I don't want to go into games where when the Dodgers start the opener. I find that I like the idea of a big starting pitcher matchup. But I don't like setting the limits on maybe, like, it's 3 or 4 innings. I don't need a guy to go 7 innings
anymore. I have a contract offer. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's the double hook. Starting pitcher comes out of the game before the 6th inning, you lose the DH. Once he gets through 6 innings, DH stays for the rest of the game. You can take him out, no harm, no foul. Who says no? I win. We win. America wins. Rob wins.
What about those teams that are going to bullpen games?
Well, then you're an idiot because you're losing your DH in the second inning.
But what if they have to?
Too bad. Then you lose your
DH. The Dodgers had to bullpen games.
Well, did they?
Yes. They didn't have healthy starting pitching.
Or you call up your best triple, your 5 starters at AAA.
You don't have to do anything. They deem that the best strategy. Here's the question they'd have to ask themselves, Teague. They'd have to ask themselves, is our best strategy bullpenning it and losing our DH, in this case Shohei Ohtani, in the second inning, or moving him to the outfield? Or are we better off calling someone else to start or pushing someone else to start because we don't want to lose that bet? Mm. It adds strategy to the game, and it brings back what we all want. Who doesn't want starters going
second? Problem, though, dude. Technology, bodies, all of this stuff has changed. You know what's even worse than not having starting pitchers go 6 innings? Having every big starting pitcher be completely worn down and their arms blown out come October.
Stop throwing 98 miles an hour. Problem solved.
Okay, great. So then even more offense, the games take 5 hours.
That's not true. Yeah. I don't think that's true at all.
Mm. Maybe you have strikeouts that are way less, the games will go longer.
I mean, if guys are now throwing 92 regularly as opposed to 98, they're going to get teed off on.
They didn't get teed 15 years ago. You think the hitters are that much better?
Yes.
I disagree.
Yeah, the bat speed has changed. No. The weight room has changed.
Here's what I think happened, in my humble opinion. Because starters know they're not going 5 or 6 innings, they go max velo right from the start. Well, if you know, hey, we're incentivizing and we as organizations want starters to go deeper into games, then you're not throwing 99 miles an hour.
So they got to learn how to pitch differently.
Yeah. Oh, what a concept. Remember when Gerrit Cole tried that this year? He sucked, he got teed up, and that wasn't any fun watching a starting pitcher pitch like that.
You guys are such horrible.
I'm not horrible, B. I just have, horrible my brain people. Has evolved as a baseball fan. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of an opener, but I also understand the consequences. Times have changed, that's it.
All I know is the golden rule is not happening. So everybody can calm down.
Well, you know what?
It was an idea he threw out there 2 months ago.
Is it that outrageous, too?
Don't do this.
Yeah. I'm not even trying to play devil's advocate, but think about this. Just think about the other sports. Do you limit when your best player could take the last shot in an NBA game?
Bro.
Do you limit how many snaps your quarterback could take in football?
Bro.
Do you limit how many shots on goal your best player could take in the NHL?
No, but
you're asking for one more shot in that. That makes it more drama for the game.
Think about the history of baseball. No other sport does history matter more than in baseball.
And that's the problem.
It's not the problem. It's what makes it the same game that people watched 50, 60, 100 years ago. It's not a problem. It just is.
That changes they've made a lot of changes that are different, but at the end of the day, when I go on YouTube and I watch a game from 1952, it's not as different as you think it is.
Yeah.
Despite the DH, despite the bullpens, despite all of that, having a batter get to bat whenever he wants once a game changes the fabric of the game to too much of an extreme level. And again, everybody can calm down. It's not happening. You can hear it in that clip. Rob Manfred was chuckling. Can you play that clip one more time?
He was just passing through it to get to the next thing.
Yes. It was basically like, I'm gonna throw a little nugget at you, and you know I'm not serious about this. Here's Rob Manfred from a podcast 2 months ago that for some reason became a big story 2 months later after Rob Manfred said this.
There are a variety of things that are being talked about out there. One of them, there was a little buzz around at an owner's meeting, was the idea of a golden at-bat. That is, you know, putting your best player out there out of order at a particular point in the game. That rule and things like that are in the conversation-only stage right now.
Yeah, you know where that conversation goes? The schmuck owner who brought it up, let's just call him Artie Moreno, says, I got an idea.
How about Mike Trout gets the bat multiple times in the same inning? And to appease him, because he's a billionaire owner, Rob says, huh, let's have a conversation. Meanwhile, Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen are looking at each other like, can you believe that moron just brought that up?
Right.
Here's the biggest issue with baseball. Your commissioner during October is nowhere to be found but on a John Oren podcast. And that's why nobody knew about it.
I know. I just find it funny that 2 months later it became a thing. Let's go to Michael in East Brunswick. How are you, Michael?
Good. How are you guys? Big fan.
Good. What's up, man?
All right. So I have an idea regarding deeper starting pitching. Provide some flexibility for the manager. So what you do is if they go six, whatever you deem, six or seven innings, if they make it through the sixth inning, the three-batter minimum is waived. So it gives some flexibility. So, you know, it's like, what am I going to do? Do I let them go through six, and then I can finagle my bullpen later on in the game? I don't know, just an idea. Because
It's actually not a terrible idea. I think it's too confusing almost.
Yeah.
And I think
you'll be like, wait, did they get through six? It's five in the third. Wait, what's going on here?
I also don't know if it incentivizes. I don't think it incentivizes it enough. But look, here's the bottom line. It's like anything in life. It's like your kids. You want them to do the right thing, but sometimes it's better to not yell at them and force them to do it. You want them to end up doing the right thing because at the end of the day, they get a Jell-O cookie once they do it.
Jell-O cookie?
Oh, Jell-O cookies were my jam back in the day, yeah.
What is a Jell-O cookie?
So it's a chocolate outside shell.
Uh-huh.
And there's jelly in the middle. Did I say Jell-O? I meant jelly cookie. Okay. I apologize.
Yeah, I wouldn't have stopped the conversation if you simply said jelly cookie.
I'm sorry. I got very excited. You want to incentivize it. And that's what you're trying to do with baseball someday. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen. I'm telling you guys right now, within the next 3 years, me and Rob are going to come up with a plan that incentivizes starting pitchers. Ozzy's in Woodridge. How are you, Oz?
Yo, news does travel fast. Joe Biden just pardoned Lugie.
Well, congratulations. First he went to Hunter, then he went to Lugie. So congratulations. You've been cleared, Tommy.
I think Biden got confused because Lugie kind of looks like Hunter. And he has just as many charges against him. So I think both Joe just got a little confused there.
There are a few lookalikes, like Bo Nix sort of looks like an older version of Zach Wilson. Mm. And I can kind of see the Hunter-Tommy Lugauer thing. I can kind of see it.
Amen to that.
Isn't Bo Nix the
Luke,
same age?
You still have all your old teeth? Any children you're not supporting? We good? Or
all right.
Yeah, let's move it along here, Oz.
All right. Enough Hunter Biden jokes. Move along.
Yes.
All right. Forgive me for getting a little bit too edgy with that.
We did it. We moved on.
Hope he disappears from our lexicon.
Actually, you know what, Ozzy? Hang on for a second here because I have a question. Sean handed out a piece of paper with all my tweets on it. And I was charged with crimes. Just for procedural purposes, can I have that sheet?
I threw it out already.
All right, so just print it out and give it to me.
Okay, yeah. No problem.
No, right now. Sean, just when Ozzy, go ahead.
Sean is probably going to make it into a T-shirt, a lid on the front and the back. So.
That's a good idea, actually.
Speaking of Sean, we know that Sean doesn't even buy what he's selling and what he deduces from the Curry Report. Because right off the bat, Sean told a lie. He said he asked for a Soto away jersey and an extra large. He hasn't been an extra large since second grade. So right off the bat, he was lying.
Is that right? Is that so? Come see my pants right now, Oz.
Sounds like an invitation.
Sean, remember, you can't spell coward without the word cow, all right? And you are the biggest coward I know.
Wow.
So let's start right there.
Hold on, his mom might be listening.
Oh, jeez, that's harsh.
Jeez, there's five of us talking right now. Only one of them scripts out what they have to say.
Damn right. Well, when I don't have exact time where I know I'm going to get cut off or not, I got to make sure my thoughts are succinct.
Wait, well, by the way, didn't you promise
us... That's like you with your Cinco de Fasto, but go ahead.
Okay. Didn't you promise us last week that you were going to provide news about Juan Soto? Because late last week, we had all this weird news about Juan Soto. Like, someone knew his barber, who knew his this, who knew his that. And you told us that you've got some connections to the DR, and you're going to provide us news about Juan Soto. Do you have anything for us?
Yes, and it was one day delayed because of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Fair enough.
I apologize for that.
That's fine. What do you got?
But here's the lowdown. Directly from the streets of La Vega, Dominican Republic, Las Vegas without the S's,
okay,
where my wife grew up.
La Vega, okay.
Old news, old report, fake news, It's not that Soto doesn't like Jazz Chisholm. It's not that he doesn't like Jason Dominguez. It's not even what the last old report from the barbershop that he doesn't like Aaron Boone. All right? What Soto is worried about, if he re-signs with the Yankees, he's going to resent the fact that if he does win a world championship or two, that the glory is going to go to the face of the franchise, the playoff whiffer in big spots, and the playoff dropper of little league pop-ups. And Aaron Judge is going to get all the glory that it's rightfully belonging to Soto. So that's why he's hesitant about going
but
back.
But I don't think that's true. I mean, I appreciate
Are you doubting Ozzie's report from La Vega, Dominican Republic?
Well, I don't care if it's a true report or not. I think it's just an asinine assertion.
Yes.
If you go ball, people are going to recognize it.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant went to the best team in the history of NBA basketball and won two finals MVPs. They recognized him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, Steph Curry won this championship. It was Kevin Durant won this championship.
And not only that, Tiki, the Yankees were in a World Series in which, they lost in five. Yeah, they were down 3-0. But they had a chance to win a championship. They had a lead in game one, right?
Yeah.
It was all right in front of them. They were on their way to Juan Soto being the hero.
Of course
they were. I mean, the guy hit the game-winning home run in the American League Championship Series, and Aaron Judge, even before the drop pop-up, was not performing at the Aaron Judge level.
And again, nobody was talking about Aaron Judge being the guy in any level in the postseason.
Right. It was Juan Soto.
It was all Juan Soto.
It was Soto and Stanton, to be fair.
True.
Yeah, Stanton was getting a lot of the love, too.
Stanton, because Stanton won the Didn't he win the MVP? ALCS MVP.
Yeah.
So maybe it would have been Stanton.
Yeah.
But a lot of it would have been Soto.
Yeah, it is so different than the NBA and even the NFL, where it's almost impossible for that quarterback to not get all the love for winning a championship.
Right.
And baseball literally can be anybody. Like all these years later, when I think of the Giants winning the World Series in 2010, I think of Cody Ross. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Because that guy took off.
Yeah.
Or Daniel Murphy's great run with the Mets, even though he was more of a player back in 2015. Right. So,
who was the Braves? It was a kid they brought up, right?
When the Braves in 21?
Yeah.
Well, didn't Jorge Soler have a big run? Or Eddie Rosario played very well?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's
just whoever plays the best in that moment.
And also, I try to forget that World Series. I appreciate you bringing it up.
I forget who the MVP was.
Yeah, me too.
It wasn't Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, all I know is I'm just pissed at the Astros for not getting the job done.
But by the way, Evan, I just went to the printer because you said you printed out that document.
No, I can't because my iPad isn't attached to it. So he emailed it to me. So I have to now print it that way.
There is no sheet.
Yeah, there
is. In fact, when I walked into the control room before, that sheet that had all my tweets on it, it said Tommy Lou Gower is the B word.
All right. First of all,
there is no sheet.
There is a sheet. Do you want to bet me $100 right now?
So there was character assassination against
Tommy. Tommy,
I have my own accusations.
Tommy, there's a sheet. And if you continue to tell me there's not a sheet, I want to get some money from you in the meantime. Mm. Would you bet me $100 there's a sheet?
No, because I have the sheet in front of me.
No, I have an actual sheet with your tweets, okay? He sent it to me.
Oh, I got sent something as well.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sean sent it to me digitally. And yes, he printed out a blank piece of paper.
I've now sent this psychopath it digitally.
Okay. So if you want to go behind the curtain, yes, he gave me a fake piece of paper an hour ago. But there's an actual sheet, and I'll ask you one more time. Do you want to bet $100 there's a real actual sheet?
No.
Okay, you don't, because there is.
But I have
to put it away.
I would like to make my own accusation.
Can we update the audience who didn't tune in an hour ago as to why Tommy is randomly melting down?
Yeah, thank you.
I don't think I'm melting down.
Yes, an hour ago. It was an hour. I can't believe he's not over this already.
Yeah, rewind this.
Sean put Tommy on trial because he didn't go to the podium after Nick losses on Twitter, while after every Nick win, he tweets out the same thing.
Yeah.
So Sean made that point. He actually had evidence, provided it to us digitally. We did have a fake piece of paper to make it seem like it was a piece of paper, but Tommy needed to lift the curtain up because he's a big baby.
That's showbiz, baby.
That's showbiz, but we did have it digitally.
Got it.
And it showed all of his tweets.
Yes.
After wins and none after losses.
By the way, after he accepted that he was guilty and punished like a man, he's still worrying about the
family. It was very classy.
So hold on. Let me finish updating the audience because it was an hour ago. Thank you, Sean, for reminding me.
It was an hour ago, yeah.
Tommy accepted that he was wrong for not tweeting after Nick losses. Tiki and I said, hey, there's a punishment. The punishment is he has to go to the final Jet game of the year and stay the entire day. But we did exonerate him for being very repetitive over the same tweets after Nick wins. And I repeat, Sean, to his credit, and I do give him credit because usually I bust his balls for not working very hard. He worked very hard. He supplied every tweet after every Nick win or loss.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
So there was a document that you just started out of nowhere. I don't even know what we're talking about. We're talking about something completely different.
No, I don't doubt that there's a document. I don't doubt that Sean did the legwork. But
so what's your problem now?
As Tiki would know, as a Star Wars fan, there's always two, a master and an apprentice. Sean is the apprentice. He works for somebody here. He is the puppet of somebody here, the mastermind behind it. You,
Senator Palpatine.
First of all, sent them on this witch hunt.
First of all,
admit it.
That's very mean of you to say that Sean doesn't do work and I had to do all.
Oh no,
that's very mean of you.
He just did the work at your behest.
Oh, you think I brought this up to him?
There's a second spitter here. If you're a Seinfeld fan,
he's the one that was trying to get revenge.
He's a puppet for Evan. First the leader of the coalition indicators who's trying to drag me down as usual. This is much like that Jalen Brunson tweet I had that's on a t-shirt that's going to be worn outside of Madison Square Garden by the loser of our pick contest. You are the leader of the coalition indicators, and he works for you.
Well, let one person decide. Tiki, do you think I'm the leader of this, or do you think Sean did this on his own?
You're probably the leader of it, but Sean is there. You know, he's a good stool.
He's a good stool.
He's a good patsy. Just a patsy.
He's just a patsy.
Amazing.
Now, I apologize. I don't want to get off track. It is 4:30, and for the first time in 2 months, we're bringing it back. One of the most popular segments in Evan and Tiki history. It's a new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for
Posted and Toasted.
Yeah, you ready for Posted and Toasted?
I am. Don't Jack Ruby him, Tommy.
Thank you. He doesn't know what that means.
Sorry.
It's a JFK assassination.
Now, look at you, Sean. Posted and Toasted is an old segment we've done here at WFAN where I do the legwork on this. I find old tweets of some of our fellow WFAN coworkers. They're sometimes of sports, sometimes of random things. And then the great Tiki Barber guesses which one of our coworkers was the author of said tweet. So let's kick things off with our very first example. This is from July 29th, 2019. So I'm at an Apple store, and I'm wondering what the protocol is to get some Apple associates' attention to help me. This is such a weird place. Hello? By the way, I do want to point out the first response to this person was, why don't you go on Twitter and act passive-aggressively? Somebody should arrive within 5 minutes.
Definitely Al Dukes.
All right, so choice number one, Evan Roberts.
No.
Boomer Esiason.
No.
Al Dukes.
Yep.
Or Sean Morash.
Al Dukes.
You're wrong.
Come on. Not Al Dukes.
Who the hell says hello other than Al Dukes?
Is it me, Boomer, or Morash? Who needed to be passive-aggressive on Twitter to get someone's attention at the Apple store?
Boomer?
Boomer Esiason! Very good. Correct. That's Boomer Esiason.
Boomer is a hello guy?
He's a, I'm frustrated I'm not getting help, I want an MVP in this league kind of guy.
But hello?
So let me go on Twitter and bitch about it.
But hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Maybe he got that from Al Dukes.
Yeah, maybe.
This one is from December 14th, 2020. So I guess it's kind of the midst of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I don't get all the fuss about Bruce Springsteen, but then I've always reminded this time of year that he's the guy that sings Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I love that song. Someone who doesn't understand the fuss about Bruce Springsteen, but loves, hey, he's the guy who sings Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Imagine only noticing Bruce Springsteen as the guy who sings Santa Claus is Coming
especially
to Town.
Especially because that song is about 1,000 years older than that.
Very true. So who is it? Is it Evan Roberts, Sal Licata, Sean Morash, or Chris McMonagle?
That sounds like a Sean Morash.
You're wrong.
Sal?
Sal Licata!
Yes, it's Sal Licata. Tiki, I've had a similar opinion, so you weren't far off. I even guessed that was me.
You're not a Bruce Springsteen guy?
I don't get the fascination.
No,
he's fine. I don't think he's bad.
Have you ever been to a show?
Yes, and I don't get going 30 times a year to him like some people.
Well, I agree with that. You don't need to go 30 times a year, but I went to my first one this year.
Like, right.
We played the Ravens play. We called the game. I drove back to Asbury Park, went to the show. It was entertaining, even though I didn't know most of the songs.
He has a pace of play issue. I don't need him playing for 5 minutes. Right.
I understand the whole part of I don't get the appeal of Bruce Springsteen, but I also can name like 15 Bruce Springsteen songs.
Right. Yes, and look.
I don't associate him as the Santa's Coming to Town guy.
But to be fair, that might be his best song if we're not being like childish.
Better than Born in the USA?
Santa Claus is Coming.
Even better than Glory Days. Better than Born to Run. Yeah, his version of Santa Claus
Coming.
Again, he has hits, but if we're being real, not being cheeky, his Santa Claus Coming to Town might be right there, Mariah Carey, best Christmas song of all time.
Because it's like, Santa Claus is coming.
Yeah, it's like a unique voice to it. And when it starts off, you can... Very accurate.
That's exactly right.
That was a great imitation. Very proud of you. Here's post number three. This is from September 17, 2023. The Giants follow up one of the worst losses you will ever see with one of the best. I believe in Brian Daboll. I believe in Daniel Jones. Is that Sean Morash?
That's definitely Sean.
Sal Licata.
Not Sal.
Chris McMonagle.
Why would he care?
Or Tommy Lou Gower?
I think it's... maybe it's Tommy.
You paused for a second.
I would say Tommy.
Loogie is future of the station.
That is Tommy Lou Gower. Can you do me a favor, Tommy?
Yeah.
Do you have the tweet in front of you?
I can get it in front of me.
All right, I'm going to read it to you. The Giants follow... Actually, just repeat after me, and I want you to do it passionately, because I can hear you saying this. That's what makes me laugh. Now, I knew it was you, but hearing like that, those words from you, like I can hear it. So
I have the tweet.
All right, read it for us.
The Giants follow up one of the worst losses you will ever see with one of the best. I believe in Brian Daboll. I believe in Daniel Jones. 888-808-1019.
What does that mean, though? A best loss?
No, one of the worst losses. He said the Giants followed up with one of the worst losses you'll ever see with one of the best. And I tell you exactly what he was talking about.
One of the best losses?
Right. He didn't reestablish the noun.
Well, he meant one of the best wins, and I know exactly the game he's talking about.
What is this, high school? It's Twitter.
It was right after the Dallas loss last year, and they beat the Arizona Cardinals, the second half comeback.
Got it.
That makes sense?
Got it.
So a year ago, Tommy Lou Gower, who's now Brian Daboll's harshest critic and loves Tommy DeVito, was, I believe in Brian Daboll.
The problem is
I believe in Daniel Jones.
Right. There's one subject that he's talking about. It's the losses. So when you say best losses, you...
back to this. The grammar police. Sean, you can't even spell your own name right, so don't give me the grammar police stuff. I hear what you're saying, but everyone understood what I meant.
Edit it.
Clearly not. Just me and Diggy didn't.
Do you think they're going to fight at some point, like physically?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Interesting.
No, he just ducked that, too.
I don't know what you said.
I don't either.
Okay. Finally, and this is something. November 28th, 2013. Happy Thanksgiving.
November what?
No. Okay, I'm sorry. November 28th, 2013.
Okay.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Selena Gomez. I'm thankful for your butt cheeks. Billy,
what? What? Now with a straight face.
I have to try this with a straight face. Happy Thanksgiving, Selena Gomez. I'm thankful for your butt cheeks spilling ever so slightly out of your sparkly shorts.
Huh. So this must have been a Thanksgiving Day parade thing?
Or a halftime show, maybe?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those. Here are your options. Tommy Lou Gower, Sean Morash, Greg Giannotti, or Evan Roberts.
It's got to be...
Which one of us is the creepiest on Thanksgiving?
That's Gio.
Pictures of your booty.
I was going to say, maybe it was you. It's like, maybe your wife was out of town. You're just kind of watching. Yeah, but it was Thanksgiving, so you had been with her.
At 2013, I was not married. Ooh. 2013, I was a single man at that time.
I did not even calculate that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't say you.
That was a fun one.
Talk about creepy. She was 20 that year.
Selena Gomez?
Yeah.
Well, how old was Jay at the time? I mean, it was a decade ago. He wasn't that old. He was probably like 29 years old.
I guess that's true.
If you're a 29-year-old, you could talk about a 20-year-old.
G, I love you. 29. Isn't G like 43 or 44?
Well, this was 11 years ago.
All right, so like 30, 31.
So what's 11 minus whatever year we're
in? I don't know. I can't do grammar. I definitely can't do math.
How old is Giannotti? 43? No, I think he's my age. I'm 41. I think he's 42. Oh. I think he's a year older than me.
She did halftime at a Cowboy game. He was right.
Oh, there goes Tiki. Hold on, I'm looking up Giannotti. Is he on Wikipedia, Greg? I don't
know. No, I think he's 41, 42 years old. So he was 31 years old.
Well, you worked with the guy.
He's a 31-year-old guy talking about Selena Gomez on Thanksgiving. Okay.
I don't have an issue.
Well, who just brought up Selena Gomez's age?
Me.
Tiki did.
No. It was me, and forget about it.
You changed your mind. That's a brand new edition of Post and Toasted every Tuesday.
Yeah. Look at that. The red hands are tight.
Can you guys do this properly?
The mic's on.
All right, thank you very much. We'll come back, get back to your calls. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. Plus, the Mets have a strategy when it comes to free agency, and I admit it's a little concerning. I'll express what my concern is and what that strategy is coming up. Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo and 20 minutes as well.